الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم الله سبحانه وتعالى states in his glorious book ولكل وجهة هو موليها, that for each individual there is a direction that they turn. You can talk about this in the context. You can talk about this in the context of individuals, or you can talk about this in the context of nations. You can talk about this in the context of cultures. You know, each person has a direction towards which they turn. Each nation has a direction towards which they turn. Each culture has a direction towards which they turn. In the case of the Muslim, it's very clear that we turn ourselves towards the Akhirah. And that's the end goal of every single Muslim. The end goal of every single Muslim is the Akhirah. Now you'll see that every human being, they have some direction towards which they turn. That's part of who we are. Every person is driven by something. And that thing guides them in the decisions that they make on a daily basis. You see that some people, you ask some people, they say, you know, what do you want in life? They say, you know, I don't want anything in life. I just want to go to the Caribbean and I want to spend a week there. If you take me there and take me to the Caribbean, that's all I want. So that's their direction. You know, they choose that. You ask a child, what do you want? They say, well, I just want to go to Disney World. I don't care about anything else. Or I just want this one thing. I don't care about anything else. So that's a direction. That's the direction in which they turn. Some people, you see that their entire direction is based on wealth. All they care about is how much money they have. They don't even spend it. They just care about having it. They count it. They worry about it. They can't sleep because they're worried about someone's going to take it from them. They don't even know how to enjoy it. They just have this disease. They just need to have dollar bills. They just need to have numbers that they can keep themselves busy with. It's a direction in which they turn. Some people are caught up in what other people think about them. They spend the vast majority of time worrying about what other people think rather than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks. They're so worried about what people are going to say, what are people going to think, how will people react, that they never think twice about what would Allah say to me on the Day of Judgment, what will Allah think of me on the Day of Judgment, how will Allah react towards me on the Day of Judgment. This becomes the theme that guides them in their life. They dress worrying about what others will think. They make decisions worrying about what others think. They never live their own life. They're caught up in somebody else's world. The Muslim is very clear in the direction towards which they turn. The Muslim turns towards the Akhirah. And even more clear than that, you can even say beyond that, the Muslim turns towards Allah. Because everything is a derivative of that. In the end, if the Muslim is turned towards Allah, then that's why they're so accepting of Rasulullah. Because in the end, he's the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the Muslim turns towards Allah, that's why he or she is so accepting of Kitab Allah, because in the end it has a nisbah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person who turns towards Allah, that's why they're so comfortable when they're at Bayt Allah, because it has a nisbah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically we can say that the Muslim, their complete and absolute focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you can only turn in so many directions. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings so simple. If you're facing one way, you can only face one way. You can't turn the other way. Whichever way you face, your back will be towards the other way. This is the way human beings have been made. And this is exactly the way that human beings are made physically and spiritually. Physically, there's only one direction in which you can face. You can't face two directions at one time. It's not humanly possible. You can't cut yourself in half and turn in two ways. The same way, spiritually, a human being can only face one direction at one time. And each person makes a decision about where they want to apply themselves. Now spiritually we could say that, well, you know, on Friday night then I want to turn towards Allah. But all the other nights I want to do what I want to do. On the weekends I turn towards Allah, on the weekdays I want to do what I want to do. It doesn't work that way. Human beings, they cannot have two faces. They cannot turn in two different directions. And it's interesting, if you look within the Sharia is so particular about direction in so many things. For example, when we pray Salah, you have to face the Qibla. And if you turn away from the Qibla, your Salah breaks. When you're making Tawaf, you have to face a certain direction. And if you turn one way or turn the other way and take a footstep, that round doesn't count, unless you go back and retrace your steps. So even within our deen, we see so much emphasis on direction. But we have to have it very clear in our minds that unless you turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100%, it's very hard to go very far. You know, here's a person, they take two steps towards Allah on the weekend, and then on the weekday they turn around and they're taking two steps backward, and then the next weekend they take two steps forward, and then the next, you know, weekdays they take two steps backwards. Then you ask yourself, where did the person end up? The person ended up zero. Because he took two forward and two backward and two forward and two backward and two forward and two backward. A lot of steps have occurred, but in the end there was no change. The Muslim has to absolutely 100,000% focus on Allah and Allah alone. That has to be the goal of the Muslim. And that was what Rasulullah ﷺ taught the companions. It wasn't that the Sharia was given to the companions. It was that Allah was given to the companions. The Sharia was a derivative of that. Yani, the person who loves Allah will want to do the things that Allah desires. And the person who loves Allah will want to avoid the things that Allah dislikes. And so whatever you told the companions to do, they were ready to accept it because actually they were turned towards Allah. They weren't turned towards one law or one thing. They were turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a verse came down that they can no longer consume alcohol, the streets were flowing with alcohol. And no one would consume it after that. No one would even talk about it after that. If a verse comes down that there needs to be hijab, the next day there was hijab. Not the next day, the same day there was hijab. There was no discussion. Verse comes down that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited riba. They canceled all their contracts, despite the fact that this person may have owed another person, you know, millions of dollars. It was all nullified. And they were accepting of it. Because they accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their direction was turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so whatever they were told to do, they did. So this is the same exact circumstance that we find ourselves in. Now, unfortunately, we try to turn towards so many different directions. We say, this is important, and this is important, and this is important, and my deen is important. But it doesn't work that way. Deen requires you to give 100%. Now yes, of course, all of life will then fit under deen. If Allah becomes the goal, then earning a halal income becomes part of that. Meeting with family and friends becomes part of that. But it all becomes part of that, not distinct from that. So that when people are meeting with family and friends, it's not a whole different world. It's the same world. It's just that you are in a different context. But we want to practice our deen and then we want it to be different here and different there. You know, in the masjid, I want to be very righteous and very religious, but then when I have my gatherings, I want to, you know, do things the way I want to do them. So that doesn't work. It doesn't take you very far. And it's addressed in the Quran as well. Inna sa'ayakum lashatta. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complaining about the human being. And explaining a weakness of the human being. And what are we told? Inna sa'ayakum lashatta. Verily your efforts, they're too dispersed. You want to go here, and you want to go here, and you want to go here, and you want to go here. But actually, you should be focused on one path, and that's the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has to be very clear in our mind. There is no, there is no partiality in this. There's no doing something part-time and then doing it, you know, doing another thing part-time. Whatever we put in, that's what we get out. So people ask, you know, how can I change myself? How can I improve myself? How come I'm not going anywhere? Well, the ball lies in our court. A person who focuses on Allah, they certainly will achieve their goal. That's our history. A person who focuses on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly achieve their goal. But we have to decide what our focus is going to be. We can't be part-time. You know, we can't say, well, now I'm going to do this and then later on I'll do that. It has to be 100% for Allah. And every moment has to be for Allah. And our mashayikh, they said that every breath has to be for Allah. Not every breath, every time between every breath. You know, we say that every breath should be for Allah. every millisecond in which the breath is halted, that even should be for Allah. This was how our particular our mashayikh were. And subhanAllah, I've seen people like that. There's so few people in the world that are like that. I've seen people, I've watched them inside out. I'm thinking about, you know, I'm watching Sheikh Zulfikar, I'm watching him, the way he lives his whole life. He's constantly working, constantly working, constantly working, constantly driven by the pleasure of Allah. Just wants to do something that will please Allah. I remember very vividly, one time I went with a group of brothers. I happened to go on a jamaat with a group of brothers. This was like, I remember it must have been high school or just early college. And this jamaat had come from Pakistan. And I happened to join them. A friend took me there and I happened to join them. And I can't remember in my life ever having sat with such a concentrated group of people who were devoted to Allah. Meaning, this was a very unique group of people. There were about 8 of them. But there was something very unique about them. And I remember I spent 2 or 3 days with them. And the one thing that more than anything affected me about sitting with them was that they became happy and they became sad only for Allah. That was a thing that really shocked me. I remember that they went knocking on a door and, you know, they go door to door and they try to tell people about Islam, and they went to knocking on a door and, somebody offered them the opportunity to come and just tell them a little bit about Islam. He said, well, you know, I'm busy right now, but I have 5 minutes. So they sat down and they started talking to this individual, and it was a little bit foreign to me because I was just in high school or some young age like that, and I didn't fully understand what they were doing. It was just kind of new to all of this. But I remember just sitting there and listening, and they're talking, and they say to the person that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us, and we should be thankful to Allah and gracious to Allah, and be cognizant of all of the favors and bounties that Allah has bestowed on us. And it was some talk like that, very general. And at the end of 5 minutes, they said, well, you know, you gave us 5 minutes, we took our 5 minutes, jazakallah, and then they left. And what I remember not was the talk, but on the way back, on the way home, the way to the masjid, they were going back to the masjid. As we were driving back from the masjid, it was as if those 6 people had won the lottery. They were so happy. One of them was singing. He was just humming and just moving around. And I'm looking at them, I'm thinking, what is making these people so happy? This is so strange. And what had made them so, then I figured it out, the whole thing that had made them so happy, that someone gave them 5 minutes to talk about Allah. They were so happy that someone had given them the opportunity to just talk, that, you know, oh, I'm in love with Allah, let me have a conversation with you about this. And they were just so altered by that interaction. Now, you know, people, they get happy when you give them $100, or they get happy when they buy something on sale for 25% off, and this guy's happy, takes his kids out for ice cream. You know, but these people, their happiness and their sadness was solely for the sake of Allah. It was such a strange group. And I can tell you that I remember one other thing, and that is that when I left them, I don't know what happened. It was just there for 2.5 days, not even 2.5 days, probably 2 days. I remember that when I left, they were all sleeping. But when I stood up to leave, I just broke down in tears. I don't know what came over me. It was just such a strange thing. I was just crying and crying. And on the bus ride home, I was just crying and crying and crying. I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? Why am I, you know, so emotional? But just to sit with people that were just driven for the sake of Allah and Allah alone, and they had made so many sacrifices. These were poor, poor people that had come from Pakistan, and they happen to be, you know, coming in Jamaat in America. It was just, you know, there's few people out there like that. How many times do you meet such people? I can just count them on my hand, you know, how many times in a whole lifetime, how many opportunities you get to interact with such people in the world. So these are very special people, but they're very special people because they have a very special direction in which they've turned themselves. They honestly, truly, not in their tongue, honestly, truly, in their complete actions, turn themselves towards Allah. And there are a few other people that you'll encounter in your lifetime like that, and they're very special, but they've made a very special decision. And you see the effect of it. You can feel the effect of it. But we, unfortunately, have our inna sa'yakum lashatta problem. You know, we want to be here, we want to be there, we want to do things this way, but then when we're in the company of righteous people, then we want to give, you know, lectures. So when we're home, we want to watch TV and relax. But when we're in the masjid, we want to explain to everybody why TV is bad. It doesn't work that way. How can you have both? It's, you know, it's turning in one direction and then turning in another direction. So if we desire to become who we desire to become, then we have to be 100% focused towards Allah. Now again, that doesn't preclude us from doing the things that we have to do as part of life. We have to interact with people. We have to go to work. We have to excel at our work. We have to do our studies. We have to excel at our studies. But the purpose of that all becomes different. Everybody does the same thing. Everybody gets up and brushes their teeth. The question is why you brush your teeth. One person gets up and brushes their teeth because you just wake up like, you know, and I'm supposed to brush my teeth. It's just a habit. Another person gets up and brushes their teeth because it's a sunnah. There's a very big difference between those two people, but they're doing the exact same thing. So we should be particular about making sure that our total attention is turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person does that, then their life is totally altered. You can see what they can produce and the effects that they have. And you just look at the lives of our scholars. There are so many examples. Imam Nawawi, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Ahmad, and just et cetera, et cetera. It goes on. That's just the field of hadith. How devoted they were towards their deen. How devoted they were towards Allah and His Messenger. I mean, Imam Bukhari is traveling by horse, by camel, by foot, year to get a hadith. 6 months to get one hadith. And imagine, you know, we're all living off that sacrifice. But what a lover of Allah that person must have been. So we should be very particular. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear, وَلِكُلِّمْ وَجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. And we have to make our direction that of that which is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among those who turn towards Him 100%, and may He make us among those who attain the benefits of those who turn towards Him 100%. وَآخُرَ تَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.